We've already talked about many things about the body of Christ and that Christ is the head of the body. And these things are true. They are consistent with the scripture. But can I tell you something? That the church has a function. All right? We have a function. The church is valuable. You may say that in today's society, in today's time, we don't need church. We can just have church at home. I can read my Bible at home. I can study the Word of God at home. I can pray at home. I can do all these things at home. I don't need the church. Okay, well, yes, you can do all those things at home. But can I tell you something? You need the church. Why? Because God said we need the church. That's why. You say, well, it doesn't make sense. Does anything really make sense that God has done? I mean, tell me. I mean, we believe it by faith, but does any of it make sense? Okay, it doesn't make sense, but we need to make sure we understand that it doesn't matter if it makes sense because that's what God wants. So if God wants it, doesn't have to make sense, we just do it. We just make sure we do what we need to do according to what God says, and guess what? God will be happy. Okay, God will be satisfied. And isn't that what matters? That's what matters. So we as the church need to operate according to what God wants in the local church. What God wants for us in the local church, we need to do. Did you notice that Paul starts out and says here that he's beseeching them, he's begging them, he's imploring them. He says that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. The church has a purpose. The church has a vocation. It has a work. There's something we're supposed to do. And guess what? There's something we're supposed to be a part of. The local church. Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 84. Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is an interesting psalm. The prophet is longing for the communion of the sanctuary of God. It was written to the chief musician upon Gittith, which is a particular instrument, a psalm for the sons of Korah. It says, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Sion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed, for a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. You understand that church is important. And going to church is important. Being a part of a local church is important. We are the body of Christ. And guess what? The safest place for my finger to be is with the body. The safest place for my arm to be is with the body. The safest place for my foot to be is with the body. The same place for my heart to be, my lungs to be, my kidney to be. Everything that's a part of me to be is the body. It's the best place for me to be. It's the healthiest place to be. Hey, by the way, it's the happiest place to be. A part of the body, functioning as the body should function. The church provides stability for its believers. The Bible tells us that we should continue in the things that we have learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Can I tell you something? There are deceivers out there. They're trying to deceive you. You need the protection of a good, local, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church to protect you from the wiles of the devil. Amen. To protect you from the deceivers. Hey, Sound doctrine is what's supposed to be taught. You know where that comes from? This book. It's got to come from here. Oh, listen, there are some things that some churches teach. You can't even find it in the Bible. Why would you want to learn that? Do you think they know better than God? I don't. I know me. I know I don't think better than God thinks. Last I checked, His ways were higher than my ways and His thoughts than my thoughts. God is infinitely better than me. And He's infinitely better than you. And He's infinitely better than any religion that's ever been made out there, because God is supreme. Okay, He's on top of the pile, if you will. So, sound doctrine. You know what? Sound doctrine divides. You said, yep, preacher. That's why I don't like sound doctrine in those old-timey fundamental Baptist churches, because they're always dividing. Darn tootin'. That's a good southern term, isn't it? You better believe it. Yeah, we're always dividing. Why are we dividing? Because doctrine divides. Do you know there's a division in life? There's just a plain division. Oh, that's discrimination. Our world has gone insane, folks. Are you going to listen to them? No, it's supposed to divide. You know what? Some people are right and some people are wrong. Some people win first place and all the rest are losers. Yeah, second place is the first loser. Not everybody gets a trophy. It's okay. I'm not even afraid to say it. Some churches are right. Most churches are wrong. It's just how it is. Sound doctrine exposes error. Sound doctrine keeps us from being deceived by the subtlety and craftiness of this world. They're trying to trick you. They're trying to sugarcoat it. They're trying to make it look good. But it's not good. Don't fall for it. Stay with the book. That's what a good local church does. It takes a stand against error and compromise. You know what? I'm not moving one inch off of what this book says. I don't have to. And you know what? If you don't like it, go find a place that you do like. Leave us alone. We just want to follow God. We just want to follow the Bible. Well, but I don't think that you're interpreting those things the right way. The Bible is of no private interpretation. God said what He meant, and He meant what He said. I'm not interpreting anything. I just know how to read. How are you doing? I know I'm a little punchy tonight. I'm just hungry for soup. In Jude 3, there's no chapters in Jude, by the way. It says, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Folks, there's nothing new under the sun. There's no new prophecy. There's no new discoveries. Okay? God has given us His word. He's given us the blueprint. The local church needs to stand true. I don't care what society says. I don't care if they say, well, things have changed. God doesn't change. This book doesn't change. I'm not changing. And this local church is not changing either. And you know what? That's okay. Actually, let me, that's not just okay. It's great. You should love it that we're not changing. The church is supposed to satisfy Christ. I am not here to please myself. I'm not here to please you. I like all of you, at least as far as I know. Let me rephrase that. I love all of you, because that's a true statement. I think I like all of you. That's a true statement. No, but I'm not here to please you. This church does not exist to make you feel good about worshiping God. This church does not exist to make you feel good about, you know, your life or anything. It's not about you. It's here and it exists to please the Savior. Amen. To please the bridegroom. That's what the bride is for. You understand that we are the church. We are to satisfy Christ. If we're going to satisfy Christ, we have to do it His way. See, what is all this that you're kind of leading up to? Well, these whole last 3 weeks of sermons kind of leading up to something, and that's our part in the local church. I'm trying to get our mindset correct concerning this thing of being a Sunday school teacher, being an usher, playing in the orchestra or the piano, singing in the choir, being a part of children's church, being a part of the bus ministry, being a part of these different things. We've got to have the right mind. We've got to have the right philosophy. We have to have an understanding so that there's unity in the body. When there's not unity in the body doesn't function the way it's supposed to. In verse 13 of our text, it said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. The volunteer leadership of the church needs to have the same mission. They need to be like-minded. We need to be agreed together. The Bible says in Amos, can two walk together except they be agreed? We can't have parts of the body doing their own thing. We all need to, all things need to be done decently and in order. Why? To please the pastor. To make it easier for the pastor. No, to please the Lord. Because we're the body of Christ. The heartbeat of our mission must be evangelism, reaching the unsaved, going therefore and teaching all nations, baptizing them in the Father, name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Hey, you know what we want to do? We want to see. I have some left. Praise God. I gave out 8 of them this morning. Did you guys give those out to somebody today? Good job, Nathan. Way to go. Nathan's my hero. I love Nathan. Oh, he still got it. Whose is that? Give it. You hand it out to somebody. Nathan already handed his out. He doesn't need to hand out yours too. All right. Hey, we need to win them to Christ. That's true. We got to hand out gospel tracts. That's part of the mission of the church. Hey, it doesn't stop there. None of you ladies would have a baby and just leave it on a doorstep somewhere. Well, Miss Emily, she's such a sweet little thing over there. She's been a great church member. I haven't been bothered by her one time. You know what? You wouldn't leave a baby just to fend for itself. What do? You care for it. You nurture it. You feed it. Where's Flora? She's in the nursery. Eat. I want to eat. That's all that's her favorite line. Eat breakfast, eat lunch, eat snack, eat supper. She wants to eat. And then she wants all of us to eat too, because, you know, that's the primary thing in life, to eat. You feed it, you teach it. You teach it. You show it what's right, what's wrong, what to do, what not to do. Hey, we do the same thing with new converts in Christ. Baby Christians need to be taught and discipled and learn to grow. Hey, why? Why should we teach them? So that they can reproduce. So they can bear fruit. Like we're bearing fruit. And one day, they'll go out and hand out a tract. And they'll be the ones winning them to Christ. And they'll be the ones teaching them. And they'll be the ones in the Sunday school class. And they'll be the ones in the nursery. And they'll be the next ushers. And they'll be the next children's church workers. This thing's supposed to keep going. That's what it's supposed to do. And we've got to have the same mission. We've got to have the same motivation. Why do we do what we're doing? Well, because we want to have a bigger church, and we want to have better air conditioning and better pews, and we want to have a better sound system, and we want to have nicer facilities and more bathrooms. and more room in the nursery and more Sunday school classes, and we want to have some big screen TVs and some good electronic equipment and things for our sound and media, and we just want to be first class all the way. That's our goal and motivation as a church. That sounds kind of materialistic, doesn't it? I mean, I'm not against any of those things. All of those things are very useful. But if that's our motive, I like to call it motivator, because it's what gets you going, right? Your motor. Okay, that I'd like to play on words. You know that. What's your motivation? No. Our motivation ought to be, as a church, collectively, our love for Jesus Christ. The why behind what we do ought to be because we love Him with all our heart, our mind, our body, our soul, and our strength. That's why we should teach Sunday school. That's why we should work in the bus ministry. That's why we should play the piano. That's why we should play an instrument. That's why we should sing in the choir. That's why we should be an usher. That's why we should do children's church. Not because we can be seen of men, but because we love our Savior. Amen. This is what the church is. And this is what the church does. If we're going to do that, we have to do it according to the same methods. You say, boy, Pastor, it sure sounds like you're kind of a my way or the highway kind of guy. Yep. I am. You say, well, what makes your way so right? I already told you. It's the Bible way. I've decided to believe it and follow it, and I want you to do the same. Let's get on the same page together. We have policies and procedures. We have ways we do things. We have dress standards. No! Not dress standards. Not standards of separation. Not things that I shouldn't do or shouldn't participate in the world. No! Why are you trying to control my life? I'm not trying to control your life. I'm just trying to help us all to choose to live the way God wants us to live. You say, well, what way is that? What makes you the expert? Again, I'll defer to this. I'm not the expert. The book is. See, I was a principal for 16 years. You know what I loved? I loved the student handbook. You know why I loved the student handbook? Because the book was the bad guy, not me. I could go in and say, you know what? I understand this is your fifth tardy, and you're supposed to serve a suspension day because it's your fifth tardy. I understand that the power went out in your neighborhood and your alarm clock didn't go off, and I would let you by. But oh, the book says I can't. The book says I have to make you serve the suspension day. And I love you. I would let you go because I'm a nice guy. But the book says you have to. Hey, I would let y'all do whatever you wanted to. But the book says we can't. The book says we shouldn't. The book says we should abstain from all appearance of evil. You want a catch-all? That's a catch-all. Yeah, in our handbook as a principal, we had a catch-all. If I need to make any more rules because of what you do, I'll make more rules. I love that rule. That was my favorite rule. Many of the rules in our handbook had names of students next to them because they were the ones that created the rules. Some of them are my own children. We have to have the same methods. You know, when the church was flourishing, it's because they were all in one accord in one place. They had the same mind. It was to have a spirit of unity. It's not my way or your way, it's God's way. And that's how we need to function. We give up our own rights and follow Christ. He's the shepherd. We're the sheep. Now, we must all have the same mind. That mind is of Christ. The proper mentality is a peaceful mentality, a sacrificial mentality, a responsive mentality, a self-denying mentality, a humble mentality, an obedient mentality, and an alive mentality in Christ Jesus. If you wanted to find those, you can find them in Philippians chapter 2. We as a church need to be what God wants us to be. We should be part of a local church. We should serve in a local church. We should be faithful in the local church. The local church is God's vehicle of blessing for you. Be involved. Be a part. Serve the Lord with gladness. His commandments are not grievous to us. These boundaries are safe, they're secure, they're for our own benefit, and for our own good. Church, I have been privileged to be your pastor these past 3 years. I'm looking forward to many more years to come, if you'll have me. You know why? Because I just want to serve the Lord. And I want to serve Him with you. And we all need to be moving together in the same direction. That's what the church is supposed to be. That's what the church is supposed to do. You ought to think, it's better to spend a day. It's better than 1,000 years. If I could have 1,000 days or 1 day in the house of God, I'd rather have 1 day in the house of God. I'd rather be here than anywhere else. If you get to thinking on a Sunday morning you'd be anywhere else, you need to check your mind. Because you ought to want to be in this place. You ought to want to come and teach a Sunday school class, or come and be an usher, or come and play the piano, or come and serve in the nursery. I know that's difficult, but we ought to want to. It ought to be a desire, a longing. The church should be valuable to us. I hope you feel that way about the local church.